KALW News, context, culture, and connection from. This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. We start today with our series, The Spiritual Edge, stories at the intersection of innovation and belief.
I'm a Muslim.
I am a Jewish.
I have no religion.
I'm Christian.
Reform Judaism.
I'm Catholic.
Muslim. Not religious.
Buddhist.
Southern Baptist.
Hindu. Atheist.
Christian.
Agnostic.
Catholic.
This Friday, Jewish families all over the world will sit down to Passover Seder and celebrate the beginning of the week-long holiday. It's an ancient tradition that brings up a modern question. Are American Jews having an identity crisis? That's what a 2013 Pew Research study seems to show. It found more people who, though born Jewish, don't really identify with the religion. What the Pew report didn't capture is a diverse trend. Innovative organizations are popping up all around the country. Jewish after-school programs, Jewish farms, Jewish LGBTQ and environmental groups, all building bridges between ancient and contemporary cultures. KALW's Judy Silber was intrigued by the idea of exploring her own Jewish heritage in a more modern way. In this story from our archives, she brings us the story of one Berkeley-based organization that's bringing Judaism's ancient teachings to life.
I'm Jewish. I feel a strong affinity for Judaism, the beauty of its rituals, teachings, and music. And it can be hard to relate. The Old Testament has a demanding God and strange customs, like animal sacrifices. And then there's Jewish law called halakha with its crazy complicated rules about how to run your life, what foods you can or cannot eat, what clothes you can or cannot wear, and how you observe the holidays. This past spring, I tagged along with Wilderness Torah, one group that's trying to bring new meaning to the old tradition. Passover is one of the most important holidays on the Jewish calendar. Traditionally, you tell the story of the Israelites' liberation from slavery in Egypt over an elaborate family meal. Wilderness Torah takes the story to the desert.
Welcome! You're here! You made it! Out of Egypt! Ready for some liberation?
Woo. About 150 people are gathering in a remote spot called Panamint Valley, 8 hours south of the Bay Area. As we arrive, a warm wind swirls dust in our faces. A friendly woman in her 30s dabs our foreheads with a wet cloth.
It is hot, like really hot.
The desert feels big and suffocating. I think of the Israelites and the Passover story. In Egypt, they were slaves. With the help of God, Moses, and a few miracles, they escaped, crossing the Red Sea into the desert. Then they got scared and wanted to turn back.
This song is to inform you of some hazards that exist on this land.
Rattlesnakes, black widows, spiders, and scorpions.
Rattlesnakes, spiders, and scorpions. It's easy to see why they wanted to go back.
So really, Wilderness Torah is it's a project of remembering.
Zelig Golden is the founding director of Wilderness Torah.
It's a project of remembering something very, very ancient about being an ancient indigenous people while contextualizing that for a modern time.
A decade ago, Golden was an environmental lawyer. Like many American Jewish kids, after his bar mitzvah, he became less involved with Judaism. But then at 30, something changed.
I caught fire. And all of a sudden, I had to learn the ancient traditions. I had to learn the ancient language. I had to begin to understand like what our ancestors had passed down to me.
Golden was also interested in Native American traditions. He went on a 3-day vision quest in 2007. There, he says, he heard a message. Reconnect your people to the natural world. Not too long after, he organized the first Wilderness Torah festival.
Within the sacred text are embedded powerful lessons about how to relate to each other, how to relate to the earth, and how to walk in a sacred manner on this planet.
All around us in the desert are signs that this is a uniquely Jewish experience, like the kosher food and Hebrew words tossed casually into conversation. Or that big sound, which comes from an ancient instrument called a shofar, made from the long curved horn of a ram. the desert is held in a large open-air tent decorated with colorful tapestries. As we eat, I look around. The people here are a smorgasbord of Jews. People who grew up Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, or nothing at all. Some go to synagogue or keep kosher, and some don't. Wilderness Torah attracts a lot of young people in their 20s and 30s, earthy hippie types. But there are others in their 40s and 50s, and families drawn to the special programming for teenagers and kids. I talked to the Yusim family, originally from Ukraine, now living in San Jose. Andy Yusim is 8 years old. Can you tell me about your connection to Judaism? Do you feel Jewish?
I don't know what it means.
You don't know what it means to be Jewish?
I know what it means to be Jewish, but I don't know what Judaism means.
Like many ethnic groups, the strands of Jewish culture are growing weaker through the generations. Andy's mom, Irene, says that's why they're in the desert. She wants her children to know their heritage.
You know, I don't want them to grow up and say, Mom, you didn't tell me I was Jewish. You didn't tell me, you know, we have traditions and holidays. So I'm doing what I can. I don't know a whole lot myself, but I want them to know that this is what it is, and there are all kinds of people who celebrate it in all kinds of ways.
Throughout the festival, I ask people about their relationship to Judaism. Many tell me they feel connected, but they also struggle.
I don't really know how to define my relationship to Judaism.
I wrestle with ideas of God.
A lot of the people in my family didn't believe in God, but they said, you must follow religion, but there was no meaning to it for me, and I found that hard.
You know, reading the text in synagogue, yeah, it didn't really have, like, a lot of connection to my daily life.
I do not like the patriarchal aggression that happens towards the repression of women.
The conflict also is like the other parts of you, you know, being American, being other interests, other passions.
So I sort of went, yeah, and left it all and married a Catholic and just went away. But I still felt I missed some sense of belonging that I needed.
Friday, my second day in the desert, I talk with Jacqueline Marks in the early morning.
It was wonderful waking up this morning. I slept really without a sleeping bag. It was so warm, and I woke up to the sun rising and to some music and a few people shuffling around, and it was very peaceful. So our tent is right next to this beautiful mountain range, and it's black and red and white, and it's a very unique spot to be camping.
In the afternoon, I meet someone with special insight on the significance of the desert in Jewish tradition.
I'm Ted Ryder, and I'm a rabbi.
Ryder is off duty now, a Jewish seeker in the desert just like the rest of us. I still ask for his wisdom. He says the desert is a raw and empty place where transformation is possible.
You know, Moses was out in the desert. Elijah was out in the desert. In the Christian tradition, Jesus was out in the desert for days and days. It was there that they found the answers to questions maybe they weren't even asking.
Saturday is Shabbat, the Sabbath, the day of rest. Traditionally, people pray and study at the synagogue. We gather in the meeting tent. We sing songs and say Hebrew prayers and read from a Torah that survived the Holocaust, though its original owners did not. Its presence brings up what some people say they think about a lot. They feel responsible to ancestors who suffered or died for their faith. An irony is clear. Today, American Jews are free to practice without fear, perhaps more so than any other time in history. And yet, precisely because there is so much freedom, it requires a deliberate choice to stay involved. After the service, Wilderness Torah director Zelig Golden tells us each of us will go into the desert by ourselves. We will stake out an isolated spot and sit there for a few hours. We've talked a lot about the Passover story. Golden says it's now time to embody it.
There is some mystery here. You go out to be in the land by yourself, and, you know, it might just be a nice walk in the sunshine, in the wind. And, you know, it might be It might be a lot more.
I walk northeast for a ways. Sitting by a creosote bush, I crumple desert dirt in my hands, pick up a rock, look up at the vast sky, and ponder the questions of my life. No ready answers come, but I feel joy. The desert is special. It's quiet.
So I'd love to hear from perhaps a few of you, just like a word or a phrase from what you brought back from your wilderness encounter. Anyone?
Just listen.
Be like the wind.
Call for what you want, even if you don't know who's listening.
Get down on the ground.
Stand on your head.
In celebration, the group sings and dances for hours. The late night moon is rising when I sit down with Jacqueline Marks again.
What I love about wilderness Torah and these types of immersive retreats is they're full of so much song and music and prayer and teaching. And I think there's a lot of magic that happens here. I have not found such a deep spiritual connection to Judaism and to God in other places.
For this chant, we're going to have a moment of silence in the chant, and during that beat, I want you to listen to the heartbeat of the earth. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu
Adonai Echad. In the morning, I will return to the Bay Area, happily connected to my heritage and ethnic birthright. It's a powerful feeling, knowing that among 7 billion people on the planet, you belong somewhere. For Cross Currents, I'm Judy Silber.